Let's pray. God, we love you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you that we just get to sing those words, that we're just grateful for you and who you are and the truth that you speak over us and the extravagance that we have in relationship with you. God, you're just so good to us. God, I pray that as we sing those words, they would permeate through maybe even some of the lies we've been told about you, about us. God, you would help us see what is real and what is not. We do want to experience you, God. We don't want a superficial relationship with you. We want a closeness, genuineness. We want to know when it's your voice that's being spoken. We want to know when it's your hand that's moving. God, and I pray tonight that as we talk about such an important topic as friendship, I pray that you would reveal some things to us about your nature and our friendship with you, so that that gets translated to friendships with each other. God, I pray that you're glorified tonight through the teaching of your word. I pray that it's helpful to us. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. How's everybody? Good deal, good deal. Well, we're talking about friends tonight. Who in here has a friend? Okay, cool. I'm glad. That's great. That's good. I'm glad we're all on the same page. So, like, friendships are wild right now. Like, there's like wild elements of friendship relationships, like, in this culture, like, in your generation. It's wild. It's different from, like, when I grew up as a teenager, friendships were not like they are now. I know this is going to shock you. We couldn't text. I know. Kinda. They were still warm. They were down, you know, but they were still warm. We didn't have Instagram. There were no likes. The only like that you had was if you wrote a note in class and you passed it to somebody and said, "I like you." That was it. That was the only like you got. You only got like a few of them, like throughout your whole middle school and high school career. There's only a few of them, not like hundreds. It was weird. Like, you know, like it's weird right now because like you're so connected. There's so many things that you can connect with, but at the same time, I think there's a disconnect from what it means to be a real friend. We're almost so communicative, and that is a real word, you can use it, that we don't get close. We can say everything. We can read everything. There's so much information. We get play-by-play of everybody's life all day long, that we almost forfeit those moments where I get to translate how I feel about what's going on in my life to my friend in person. Because I know, like, we had these things called pagers. Do you remember these things? Who in the room? Okay, all the old people, you're going to raise your hand. Who in the room had a pager? Come on now. I had the clear pager that showed all the electronics inside. It was so cool. Y'all had no idea. And it had the big screen on it. So when you could actually type text on pagers. You know, like, cuz like you could type like real deep messages like hello. But it would be upside down, so you had to flip the pager over to read it. It was like, yeah, it was like 07734 was like, you know. And then you could do like I love you, which was like 831, eight letters, three words, one meaning. I'm telling you, we were creative back then. I mean, we were straight up creative. So obviously you got 411. That's like when you had like great gossip to tell somebody. You know, don't gossip. But that's what happened. I'm just telling you what happened. I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. And he had 911 when like so-and-so broke up with her boyfriend. That's when you use 911, when like, yeah, Irma Jean broke up with Billy Ray. I mean, we're like, that's when the 911 was used. And then you had like, if you wanted to say like goodnight, it was 99. Anybody got a guess? Nighty night. Nailed it. How did you have a pager, don't you? Oh, okay. But like right now, like, you know, there's, yeah, as these friendships and relationships develop, you communicate, talk about things. And it's so important for us to understand from a godly perspective what that means and how we interact with the friends around us, because we have to understand what a good friend is, and we have to be a good friend as well. And we're gonna talk through some principles tonight that I really want you to understand so that you know what that looks like from a godly and biblical perspective. When we talk about, especially from Jesus's point of view, from the New Testament, there are certain words that you need to understand. When Jesus starts talking about being a friend or loving somebody, there are certain words that he uses. And in the Greek language, which most of the New Testament is written in, there are different words for love. And all of these words depict a different kind of relationship. And you've been told this already during this series, but you're made for relationships. You're wired to be in relationship. You're a herd animal. That's what you are. I'm sorry. It's the best way I can describe it. But you're meant to be around other people. You're meant to hang out. You're meant to converse. You're meant to have emotions with other people. But you're meant to do it in a certain way. Because in reality, the relationships that you have, the friendships that you have in particular, they can be your greatest ally or your worst demise. And that's what's at stake. Like when you talk about your friends and who you're in relationship with, you have to realize that they all of those voices in your life begin to hold weight and begin to direct your life where it's going to go. So we have to understand, if we know that God's way is the best way for us, then we have to dive into God's word and say, well, how does God say that I need to interact with my friends? What does God say I need to do with the people that are around me that I call friends? How do I need to adjust myself to be a good one? In the New Testament, so there's different kinds of love that, there we go. Nope, still there. Okay, I'm just gonna keep going. Y'all ignore it, me too. It's gonna be awesome, keep going. So there's this word called phileo. And Jesus, one of the scriptures we're gonna use tonight is, Jesus uses this specific word, and it is brotherly love. It is the depiction of what it means to love somebody in a friendship kind of way. So we're talking about that specifically now, but like in genders, to love like a brother, love like a sister, right? That is the depiction. There's agape love, which is godly love. There's eros love, which is romantic love. So there were different vernacular, different words in the Greek that were used to describe these different kinds of relationships. And when Jesus uses this word, phileo, it is one of the most powerful forms of love that there is. And I'm gonna show you this in a couple of passages that we're gonna get to. But it's important. With great power comes... Thank you, Spider-Man. That's right. All right. So if you got your Bibles, we're gonna start. We're gonna be, most of the time tonight, we're gonna be in the book of Proverbs. It is my favorite book of the Bible. And the reason we're gonna be in Proverbs, because Proverbs gives us a good framework from a wisdom standpoint, which is what we are after tonight, is to gain wisdom on what it means to live in friendship relationships. So we're gonna be in Proverbs. So if you got your Bibles, first verse we're gonna get to, it's Proverbs 27:17. Okay, before we get there, I want you to realize that one of the main positions that as believers we need to take to have good friendship relationships is to realize that if I'm gonna have good relationships, if I'm gonna have good friendships, I need to be a good friend to start with. Like, I'm not going to pull in good friends if I'm not one to begin with. Verse 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Now, if you got two pieces of iron, they will sharpen each other. If I had a spork and a piece of iron, what's going to happen? I don't know either, really. I get it. That you're confused. You're just as confused as I am. I don't know what's going to happen. I should have gotten a piece of iron and a spork, and we could just clang them together and see what happened. It would probably break. The iron would fall apart against the strength of the spork. Oh, the other way. I'm sorry. Other way. You know what I meant. But that's what happens a lot of times in our friendships is like we take this position that, I'm great and I'm going to get with somebody and be a friend with somebody that doesn't line up with who I am and vice versa, right? We have to be careful in that. Because it is true that iron sharpens iron. That when we are together with like materialed, those who are going after the same things that we're going after, we are going to sharpen each other. And that depicts in Proverbs, that depicts when we talk about friendships, this closeness to each other. That you're going to encounter people in your life that are going to either sharpen you or make you dull. And you have to be very careful in that. And vice versa. Because if there are things in you that in a friendship relationship you might use against somebody, then you may dull them. So the best thing from a friendship relationship standpoint is that we have to be one. You have to be a friend. First point that I have for you tonight is good friends make good friends. Dual meaning. A good friend is a good friend, right? But a good friend can also make somebody better, can make somebody a good friend. And that takes some self-examination. In our relationships, we have to have some self-examination to say, well, am I a good friend that then is going to sharpen those who I come in close contact with? What do I look like from the other side of a friend relationship? And I think it becomes real practical, and we'll see this again soon when Jesus starts talking, but are my words encouraging to my friends? Do I lift my friends up, or do I take every opportunity to push them down so I can look better? Do I speak truth to them? Maybe even when it's kind of hard. Lovingly, do I speak truth to them? Do I lie to my friends? Do I make things up about myself so that they'll like me more? How do I look on this side of being a friend? Second thing is, if we want to be a good friend, if that's our goal and we start out that way, one of the main attributes that I think that, again, that we lack in our society right now is just the act of being present. So first thing, if you want to be a good friend, is to be one. The second thing is to be there, to be active and present. If you want to know who your friends are, move. Like your house. You want to know who your friends are? Just say, hey guys, I need some help moving. And see who shows up. And you're like, oh, y'all are my friends, thanks. Here's some pizza, right? But to understand that when you see real friends, they are present in your life, even when it's not fun. Because ain't nobody likes moving. Nobody. I don't wish moving on my worst enemy. But you find out who your friends are. To be present, to be active in the lives of your friends. And your friends, you see real quickly who they are when they are active and present in your life. When they're lifting you up, when they're encouraging you, when they're for you, when they sacrifice for you, and vice versa. That's the sharpening. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. All times. In the Hebrew right here, this word all, it means all. Wow. I thought that would land it a whole lot better, but it didn't. But when you look at that, that word becomes really powerful. Because when you look at all times, man, that's gonna be some bad times. It's gonna be some good times. It's gonna be some emotional times. It's gonna be some times where you need somebody to help you. You need somebody to come alongside you. As life goes on, all of these times are going to come up. And you're going to need friends to help you in those times. And there are going to be people that they need your help as well. Brother is born for adversity. A brother is born for adversity. We go back to this concept of brotherhood, sisterhood. That it's more than just an acquaintance. But we've walked through some junk together. We've experienced some things together. And this proverb gives us a great connection in how we are supposed to approach friendship, that it's sacrifice. It's more than just hanging out on a Friday night. It is walking through hard things and good things along the way. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There was a study from Harvard University that said that those who have long relationships, so more than 10 years with about 3 or 5 people, live longer. Yeah, living longer is great. But like when you have close friends that you can rely on, that you can bring your junk to, you can celebrate with. When you have those relationships in your life, it reduces all kinds of anxiety and stress in your life. When you are that for somebody, same deal. That we take on this persona that, man, there are going to be people in my life that I am going to sacrifice for. When they call me in the middle of the night, I'm going to show up. And I know that they will do the same for me. It becomes deeper than just people we hang out with. It becomes deeper than the people that I'm on a 143-person group text with. How many of you have a 143-person group text? Y'all are lying. Some of y'all do. I know you do. Close to it. Right? 30. But it becomes more than that. It becomes a point where we, like, if I am sacrificing for them, then I step into their life and say, how are you? What can I do to help you? How can I come alongside you and encourage you? It shifts from just superficial conversation to very intentional communication. Because I care about your future. I care about who you're becoming. I care about what God's doing in your life. And I want to help that process. I want to come alongside and encourage you in that. Like I said, I feel like this is one of those things that in this, Satan eats our lunch societally right now. His tactic has always been the same in this, though. Like, his tactic has always been to isolate us and get us by ourselves. Satan does not want you to have friends. He doesn't want you to be close to people and have people encourage you and lift you up and you do the same. He does not want that. Because that, when that happens, you receive peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All of those are fruits of the Spirit. Then when we're in godly relationships with each other, that's what grows. That's what flourishes. What happens when we're isolated is we begin to believe lies. Like, nobody cares about me. Nobody really wants to listen to what's going on in my life. Nobody wants to hear about the things I'm struggling with. Nobody really cares about the things that I like. That's what happens in isolation. But when we pull people in, when we get closer to people that sharpen us, we begin to become what God has made us to be. In the New Testament, we see this as discipleship. That is the definition of discipleship, is that somebody is pouring into somebody else the goodness of God, the truth of God, of how he feels about you, his future and direction that he has for you, his purpose that he wants for you. That's discipleship. And God has chosen to set up this system that happens through friends. And specifically gendered friends. Okay, I gotta hurry. Because I told these small group leaders I was gonna be on time. It's gonna be tight. All right. The last one. This one is. The presence is powerful. If you're right, if you're taking notes. Your presence is powerful. You being present with your friends. A lot of times, from a ministry side, it's the ministry of presence. Because I can walk into a situation, and it happens more times than not, I don't have the words. When somebody's hurting, their life's falling apart, I walk into a room and I don't know what to say. And there are no words. There's nothing, there's no magic word that's going to come out of my mouth that's going to make anything better. But you know what does? Just being there. Just being there. In Jewish culture, they called it sitting shiva. Being present. And I think this is, in our society, not just in your generation, this has become a lost art. Just to be present. And there's power in it. There's power to grieve and overcome and move on and find wisdom and purpose in that direction when we just sit and we're present. Okay. Last one. So we started with be a friend, be one. Be there, be present. The last one is be aware. A friend is someone that you allow to have influence over your life. You allow them to have a voice in your life. Be careful who you give that to. Be careful who you give that to. Proverbs 13:20-21 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Disaster pursues sinners, but the righteous are rewarded with good." Whoever walks with the wise will become wise. It's a simple equation. If you're around wise people, you'll become wise yourself, right? If you're around fools, what's going to happen? Become a fool. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you." The pearls in your life are the minutes and the time that you have. All of us have the same 24 hours in a day. We have to be intentional and careful who we give those moments to, who we give the minutes of our life to. Because those voices, if we allow them, can pull us away from God's truth and what he wants for us. One of the best sayings that I know of that I've probably told both of my kids 1,000 times to the point that they don't want to hear it anymore is that you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. But it's true. Show me the people that you're hanging out with right now that you have given influence over your life, and I can predict with almost 100% certainty what your future is going to hold, unless something changes, obviously. But that's how powerful friendship is, good or bad. It can be your greatest ally or your greatest demise. When Jesus talks about casting our pearls before swine, he gives us a clear picture that he understands what it means to be a friend. He understands the weightiness of relationships in our life and how important they are. And it's important for us to know that too. You have to know that as well. What a good friend looks like. What a good friend talks about. What a good friend is going to point you towards and keep you from. He gives us a clear example. Jesus had his friends. He had the 12 dudes he hung out with all the time. How he treated them. He said this to them. In John chapter 15, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." That's that word love right there is phileo. "As I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone may lay down his life for his friends." Now, when Jesus was telling his disciples this, he had the cross in view. Jesus' understanding of friendship was, I'm giving you everything. When we're friends, from a Jesus perspective, he said, I'm giving you all of it. Give you everything I got. I'm going to show up when you move, is what he said right there. That's the Chad translation. I'm going to be active and present. I'm going to be there through good and bad. I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to show you what it means to be loved. For us today, the simple question is, who has told me what friendship is? Is it Jesus? Am I following the example of Christ? Am I believing maybe what the world tells me friendship is? Am I letting the world inform me of what a good friend is? Am I letting friends into my life that to speak and influence me, that are influencing me and pulling me away from my relationship with Jesus? That should ultimately inform me on how I live out friendship relationships. And if the answer is that I have been listening to the wrong voices, or I've let people into my life that I call them friends, but man, our friendship relationship doesn't look anything like what Jesus is describing. It's manipulative, it's lies, it's bashing, it's putting each other down all the time. Then I think you might be listening to the wrong voice. On the other side of that, if you've got people in your life that are lifting you up, that are encouraging you, that are urging you towards Jesus, hold on to those friends as tightly as you can. Commit yourself to them and do the same. Make sure that you're given as much as they are. Jesus says, outdo each other in good works. That comes back to Proverbs. That's just sharpening each other, making each other better. And that's how powerful a friend can be. Pray with me.